Well, friends, can you believe that we're on the cusp of another Christmas? Already a Christmas season that's already beginning. I remember hearing when I was growing up that the time just moves faster and faster and faster. And I remember as a kid thinking what seemed like Christmas would never come. It didn't seem fast at all, but not anymore. As an adult, things just fly by. They run by so fast that it feels like you don't even have time to unwrap Christmas. It happens so quickly. Before you know it, the tree's going to be down and the new year will be here. And before you know, we'll be having Easter again. And then it's going to be the warmth of summer. Then we're back to putting up the tree again in the winter. It all happens so quickly that we miss it a lot. Well, listen up. This year, at least on Sunday mornings, our times together here, we want to try to slow things down enough that we can actually take time to unwrap Christmas a little bit. So that's what we're going to be doing. That's what we're going to be trying to do in this message series. We're going to unwrap the reality of Christmas, unwrap the hope of Christmas, unwrap the celebration of Christmas, unwrap the miracle of Christmas, and unwrap your story and my story in Christmas. That sound like a good plan? I hope it sounds like a good plan because that's our plan. That's where we're going. Let's join in prayer as we prepare to begin unwrapping this morning. God, thank you for just wonderful worship today. I thank you for your presence that is overwhelming for me in this place today. And Lord, we just ask you to speak to our hearts now. We pray for minds that are open and hearts that are ready to receive and feet that are ready to move in action with you. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin this morning by unwrapping the reality of Christmas. And what do I mean by that? Well, let me see if I can explain a little bit to us. So this is a time of year, friends, where there's just a lot of things that we enjoy, aren't there? I mean, for the most part. There are presents that we enjoy. Some people enjoy wearing special clothing this time of year, like some of the special Christmas sweaters. I'm already on the lookout for the best Christmas sweater. Maybe that's what I need is a big Christmas sweater. I don't think so. I hate sweaters. They're hot. They make you itchy, so don't even think about it. But some of you like that kind of thing. If you look closely, some will be sporting some fancy Christmas socks or maybe a Christmas tie. Or I've seen the Christmas ornament earrings, some of them that even light up, some pretty cool things. Plus, this time of year, we have the jingle bells and the mistletoes and the eggnog. What's Christmas without eggnog? And the fruitcake. I could go any Christmas without fruitcake. Some of us may even resemble a fruitcake, but regardless, it is all enjoyable stuff, isn't it? It's all enjoyable stuff. One of our favorite traditions that Caroline and the kids and I do is every year, and this has actually happened since the year that Caroline and I got married, I believe, but we watch the movie White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. We watch that with her mom every year. It's kind of a special thing. When she comes to visit us at Christmas, we fit that in somewhere. Another special tradition that we have in our family, I'm a huge Andy Griffith buff. I love the Andy Griffith show. And in season one of Andy Griffith, there's one Christmas episode they did that's just a sweet little episode. Every Christmas Eve, somewhere on that day of Christmas Eve, we watch that episode. Those are a couple of the things that we do that are kind of special. All the stuff that we do around Christmas to make it warm and make it feel good. Yet, sadly, in the midst of all the stuff, sometimes the real thing of what Christmas is gets overshadowed and missed, doesn't it? And what is that real thing? Well, we find it in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, in the Word of God, where it says this, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." There it is, friends. Very simply, the real meaning of Christmas. And the closer that we can get to what it really means, the more real it becomes in our lives. And when Christmas becomes more real in our lives and not some isolated account that we see on a greeting card somewhere, it begins to bring real help to our lives and real encouragement, real strength, real contentment to our lives. And we're going to focus in today on unwrapping that reality. And the key to it, friends, is in the manger. It's in the manger. I read about a pastor one time whose experience happened during the Christmas season. The pastor got a phone call from the local mall in his area. It was a large mall at Christmas time. And the mall told him that we have a store that went out of business and we have this open storefront window. We wondered if your church would want to put a manger scene up in the storefront window so that it's not looking empty at Christmas time. Well, he thought to himself, he said, this is going to be awesome. There are more people that go to that mall than that go to my church at Christmas. Millions of people are going to see this. Tens of thousands of people are going to come to my church because of this manger scene. He's quite a visionary, isn't he? That's a pretty big expectation. I mean, what if we got a call from the Tiffin Mall and they said we could use a storefront for a manger scene? We might have 10 that see it. We would at least have our choice of storefronts. We could probably start with Adam and Eve and go through the whole Bible in the storefronts if we wanted to. Anyway, so this church, it went down to their mall and they set up this beautiful manger scene that was really quite a sight. It had like this wrapping paper on it that was kind of torn off with a sign that said, from God to all mankind. They got it all set up and the pastor thought, this looks great. This is going to be awesome. And then he went and sat down on a bench right beside the window to watch the people and see everyone who would be awed by the work that they had done. But you know what? It didn't quite work that way. He sat down. It's Christmas time, right? And you know how people are at Christmas time. They're just zooming this way, and they're zooming that way. And friends, it was like no one even saw the display at all. Hardly anyone even noticed. They just kept zooming past it. Hardly anyone saw it at all. Yet every once in a while, someone would be rushing by, and it was like they saw it out of the corner of their eye, and they could see this manger in the window, and they acted like, wait, what's that there for? That doesn't make sense. And when that happened, they'd stop. And everyone who did stop, be they few, everyone who did stop did the same thing. They'd turn around, and they'd walk up closer to the window. They'd get up on their tippy toes, and they would peer in right to that manger in the center of the scene to where the focal point was to that baby laying in that feeding trough. I mean, isn't that what you look for when you look at a manger scene? You look for the baby, right? In the center, all the other figurines are kind of turned in, looking to the baby in the center of the nativity, of the manger scene. And that, friends, that's what the reality of Christmas is. The key to unwrapping the reality of Christmas is in that manger. It's at that focal point, that focus in the center that we're going to focus on today. Let's just get a bit closer to the scene. Let's get up on our tippy toes and let's look in at the baby in the manger and see what it might mean to you and to your life and to me and to my life. When Jesus was born, he was given the name Jesus, and the angels said, "You shall call him Jesus." Jesus means salvation. It means God wants to rescue us from the worst of this life and rescue us for the best of life. But if we're going to understand all that Jesus wants to do in our lives, we've got to understand the names of Jesus. And yes, I said the names that Scripture gives us. Scripture actually gives us more than one name for Jesus. And the interesting thing is that these names were given 700 years before Jesus was even born. In the Old Testament, there's a guy in the Bible whose name's Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was given a prophecy about Jesus. What's a prophecy? A prophecy is a word given of something that hasn't yet happened, but that is going to happen, and that was fulfilled through Jesus. So this prophecy was given about Jesus 700 years before his birth. And then the prophecy Isaiah said to Jesus said that Jesus was going to be born, and he gave this Jesus four different names. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we find this prophecy. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." And here it comes, the four names. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. Friends, as we get onto our tiptoes and we peer into that manger, what we see are four different identities of who Jesus is as we unwrap the reality of Christmas. We're going to spend the rest of our time looking at those four identities of Jesus. So number one, as we get into our tiptoes and peer into the manger, what we first see is we see the wonderful counselor in the manger. Wonderful counselor. You know, what I love about these names of Jesus is they're not just one word. There's descriptive words that disclose something about these names with each one. It's not just counselor, it's wonderful counselor. It's not just God, it's mighty God. It's not just Father, it's everlasting Father. It's not just peace, he's the Prince of Peace. These descriptive words that say so much more. And the first one we're looking at is that he's wonderful counselor. Now, when some of us hear counselor, we think of laying on a couch in a dimly lit room with a guy in a tweed jacket stroking his beard with his other hand taking notes on a pad of paper and you sharing your whole life story before him as he goes, I see. Well, thankfully, friends, that's not the kind of counselor we're talking about with Jesus. Jesus is not some sort of superhero shrink. Friends, as you look into the manger and in the mystery and into the marvel of it all, what rests in that small, that tiny package of a baby is all the wisdom, all the understanding, all the comprehending of everything that there is to comprehend in the world in such a tiny, teeny little package. Isaiah also says this in Isaiah 28, 29. He says, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. When God gave his son to this world, he gave the ability to connect us, the ability to connect to God's wisdom, to his counsel in a way that had never happened up until this point in time. I mean, look at the Gospels in the Bible alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we have some of the very words of Jesus recorded there for counsel in our life. Wonderful wisdom from the wonderful counselor. And even greater than this, the counselor that Jesus promised is the counselor that Jesus promised would come after him. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Then Jesus says in John 14, 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Friends, the coming of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, ushers in the presence of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all of those who hear and believe and accept Jesus into their lives. For the first time, the Holy Spirit of God, all the wisdom of God, comes into the hearts of every believer, is access to us so that we can have an eternal, wonderful counselor to steer us through this life. And it began in the manger. Jesus, wonderful counselor, born as a baby. As we peer into that manger, we get on our tiptoes and look in. The second thing we see is we see mighty God in the manger. Mighty God. When we see mighty God in the manger, do you know what we see? We see the power that's in that manger. The word mighty means strength in battle. It means prevailing over the toughest of circumstances. And guess what? That's the kind of power that God wants to give us into our lives that begins in that manger. But let's face it, friends, most of us don't think power when we think about a baby in a manger, do we? We think vulnerable. We think helpless, defenseless, dependent. That's what a little baby is. When we think of power images, we have other things that come to our mind. We think of military images. That's one that comes to our mind with power. What's one kind of power? We might think of other kinds of power like fuel power or political power or weightlifting power or electrical power or nuclear power, right? There's lots of kinds of things we think about that are powerful, but a baby isn't usually one of them. A baby in a manger isn't usually one of them. Well, guess what? The greatest power that's ever come to this world came through the vehicle of a manger. He's the mighty God. A new strength was born into this world at Christmas. A new strength to your life, a new strength to my life. If we'll let him be that. If we'll let him be that strength for us. So here's the question. What's the toughest battle that you're facing in life right now? The toughest battle you're facing, what is it right now? The toughest battle that you're facing, is it some relationship that's not going the way that you want it to go? God says, I want to be your power to make a difference in that point of your life. Is it some circumstance that's not turning out the way that you want it to turn out? Is it a battle and a temptation that you've been facing that's getting the best of you? You want to say no, but you keep saying yes. Is it in an opportunity that you're not sure you're up to? Maybe you're not up to it, but the power of mighty God is up to it. Where's the greatest battle that you're facing right now? Right there, at that point, God says, I want to make my power available to you. The manger isn't just some sentimental story. It's all about God's power in our lives. What kind of power is it that we're talking about? Well, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us. It says this, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's the kind of power that we're talking about, and immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine kind of power. God wants to do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine in your life. He wants to do what's best in your life. And that means that sometimes he has something that's immeasurably more than your best idea. But the question is, how do we connect to God's power? On a daily basis, how do I get connected to God's power? Look, most of us have cell phones today, right? Most people carry cell phones in your pocket or in your purse or someplace. How many of you have to charge your cell phone every day to keep it powered up? How many have to charge it every day? How many maybe do it every 2 days? That's pretty good. Every 3 days? Every 4 or 5 days? Some of you don't use your phones very much, if that's the case. I got to do mine about every day. Well, how about when it comes to God's power in our lives? How often do we connect in order to get charged up by God's power? Well, here's the thing, friends. It's not every fifth day. It's not every fourth day. It's not every third day. It's not every second day. It's not even every single day. When it comes to God's power in my life and in your life, you know what? I can't hold a charge. I got to stay connected to him all the time. All the time. We just can't come to church once a week and then stay all charged up and think we're going to get through the kind of things that we're talking about here. It can help you to give you a good charge boost, but we need to be connected to God more than that. We need to stay connected to God hour by hour, minute by minute, moment by moment. And how do we do that? We need to be aware that he's with us all the time, so talk to him throughout the day. It doesn't have to be long conversations. Just use flash prayers. God, help me in this one. God, I need your wisdom right now. God, I'm not sure what to do here. God, what an amazing thing that's just happened. Thank you, God. Thanksgiving is a great way to stay connected to God. You can thank him for the little things in your life every day. Let me ask you a question. How many of you talk to yourself from time to time? I'll admit it. How many talk to yourself from time? Well, stop that. Don't do that. Look, instead of talking to yourself, talk to God. His spirit as a Christian is with you all the time. Talk to God. He's a power source that's so ready to connect you to the everyday stuff that you're going through. So talk to him, not yourself. You already know that you don't have the answers. So talk to God about it. Third, as we peer into that manger, here's the third thing we see. We get on our tiptoes and we look in and we see the everlasting Father in the manger. The everlasting Father. Jesus says in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. We talked about Jesus being wonderful counselor earlier, and that's the counselor is the reference to the Holy Spirit. Now it's saying everlasting Father, and Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. Listen, there's great significance here. That baby in that manger wasn't just a piece of God. It was all of the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. who came to earth in that baby. Some of us try to compartmentalize. We try to put God in boxes. There's God the Father, and he's up in heaven. There's the Holy Spirit, who's some sort of vapor thing out there somewhere that I don't really understand. And then there's Jesus the Son, who was born in a manger and who died on the cross. He was the flesh. It doesn't work that way. Our minds are two-dimensional, and it helps us to get a greater grip of things that we don't fully understand. But God's 3D, or maybe we should say he's 3T. He's Trinity. And where one part of God is, all of God is. It was the glory, the whole glory of God that came into this world at Christ's Mass at Christmas. That's what's in the manger. God says, I'm going to bust out of every box that you've ever put me in because I want you to see what I can really do for you. I can do more than you could ever dream, more than you could ever ask or imagine. I'm going to unwrap this tiny little idea that you have about Christmas and show you something that's much, much more. That's God's glory. He's the everlasting Father. Friends, the baby in the manger is God wrapped up in human flesh, the creator, the sustainer, the ruler over everything and everyone, right there in the tiny form of a baby in a manger in a bed of straw. Do me a favor. I want you to look at your thumbprint for a moment. Go ahead, everybody, look at your thumbprint. You know what? There's no other one like that in all the world. No other thumbprint just like yours and all the world. Your thumbprint is a one of a kind. And listen, you know what? He made it. He made it. He formed it. He fashioned it. He fingerprinted you. You say, who did? That little baby in the manger? Yes, that little baby in the manger. The same one who created the whole world and created, he also created you and he created me as well. That's the God who came to the world at the original Christmas. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. The Living Bible paraphrase of the first part of that verse puts it this way. It says, God's Son shines with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. What an absolutely powerful verse that is. Jesus is all of God, and all of God came into this world born as a baby. And finally, the fourth thing as we get on our tiptoes and peer into that manger that we see is this. We see the Prince of Peace in that manger. The Prince of Peace. Jesus isn't just peace. Jesus isn't just peaceful. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And what's that saying? It's saying that Jesus has a corner, friends, on the peace market. You may be able to experience peace and peaceful things in this world at times, but you may notice that peace without Jesus, it's short-lived. It just won't last you. When's the last time that you can remember that there wasn't a nation warring somewhere with another nation? Try never. I don't think there's been a time in my entire life where there has not been some nation warring somewhere with another nation, where there's been worldwide peace. We hear about peace talks, we hear about world peace, but listen to me, I guarantee you that real sustaining everlasting peace, it can't happen without that baby that was born in the manger, without the Prince of Peace himself. Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Friends, the peace that Jesus is offering is something not of this world. You cannot get this peace any other place from any other source. It's only through Jesus. It's not available anywhere else in the world. Any world peace will still leave you troubled and afraid. Real peace comes only from the Prince himself, the Prince of Peace. Do you want that? Do you want it? Do you need it? Do you long for it? Then get on your tiptoes and look into the manger. He's right there, the Prince of Peace, and ready to un- be unwrapped to give you the real meaning of Christmas and a real everlasting, sustaining peace. Listen, that's what makes Christmas real to me. Before I asked Jesus into my heart, real, lasting peace, it eluded me. I couldn't find it. I had moments of peace. I had times of peace. I even had seasons of peace, but I didn't have a sustaining peace. And with Jesus as my Savior and the Lord, the leader of my life, friends, I can say to you that even in my most disturbing times, even in my most chaotic times in life, even when life's really rough and rocky and difficult, there's this steady, sustaining peace below it all that sustains me, that allows my world not to get rocked, that gets me through. And anyone who's given or gives their life to Jesus can tap into this Prince of Peace kind of peace. That's part of the gift that God is giving you and me right now. But to have this gift of peace through Jesus, you have to receive it. You have to unwrap it. You have to make it yours. It's not a gift that you have just because you were raised in a Christian home. It's not a gift you have just because you've gone to a Christian church. It's not something you have because you're good or because you do right things. This kind of peace only comes from individually looking into the manger and at the baby and receiving the death and resurrection of that baby as a man and receiving that forgiveness of your sins and your salvation through what he's done. Friends, as we wrap up our Christmas unwrapping for this morning, are you ready for your Christmas to be made more meaningful? Are you ready to really make it real? Are you ready to unwrap Christmas? Then get on your tiptoes. Look deep into that manger. Do you see who's lying there? Do you see him in the center of it all, the focus of it all? It's him. It's Wonderful Counselor. It's Mighty God. It's Everlasting Father. It's the Prince of Peace, born into this world for you and me. Let's pray together. God, if we're honest with ourselves, I believe there's some of us here today that are needing these different parts of you. We need you as our counselor because life is just out of control right now and we need some guidance and wisdom that only comes from you. Some of us need you as Mighty God. We're needing power and strength in our life right now because life is crumbling us. And we can't stand on our own. Some of us need you as our Father, the Eternal Father, because right now we just aren't feeling the love that we need to, that only comes from you. And some of us need you, God, as our Prince of Peace, because as hard as we try, we can't stay peaceful. Life keeps getting disturbed. The only way to receive those things is to receive you, Jesus. To look into that manger scene, as we look into the manger, what we see there, instead of a trough with a baby in it, is a package that's all wrapped up. And we look into that manger, as we peer in and see that package, we have to go in and actually receive it and unwrap Christmas to find Jesus there and to invite him into our heart and into our life. And if there's anybody in this place this morning that needs to unwrap the gift of Jesus, you've not asked Jesus into your heart, this peace is eluding you, but you're ready for it, unwrapping the gift is simple. As simple as saying, Jesus, here I am. I'm peering into this Christmas scene and I find you. I'm seeing you in a new way today. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins, all my shortcomings and failures. I'm receiving the gift of you, of Christmas today. So Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, and as Wonderful Counselor, lead me from this day forward. In the power of Mighty God, we pray. Amen. One of the beautiful things of communion during this time of year, we're about to have communion together. If you're our guests with us, please know that communion here is open to anyone. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. If you're seeking to follow Jesus, we invite you to enjoy it with us. We'll do that up front. We'll have a cup and a loaf of bread, and we just tear off a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and receive it. But as we do this at Christmas time, I just think of all who Jesus is. He's born as a baby, but he grew to be a man. All of him, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is all broken on that cross for us. He came to die so that we could live. And the blood running down from the Christ on the cross that's shed for you and me. So that every time that we take and eat and we drink, we remember not just the baby born, but the man who died for us. Will those who are serving come forward? As we come forward for communion in a moment, if you're in the center aisles, just about the middle, you can go either direction and come up to the front where there's a server, so you can split and go this way. If you are at one of the side aisles, we ask you to come inward toward this inner aisle to come forward, and you can go back and return to your seats this way. If you're in the center, if you would return from the outside and come back in this way to your seats. Will you come now and enjoy the gift of Christmas, the gift of God's Son, Jesus. So friends, that's all of us enjoy all the fun parts of the season. Take in the lights and the presents and all those great things, the shows and the music and all the things that stir us and move us in our traditions. But in all of us, let us not forget to stop and slow down to really unwrap Christmas. It's about the baby, born for you and me.